Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way. Your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will. Thank you.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, today, well, we got sort of interesting headline here. Tiny house loopholes, which we touched on a teeny bit of that yesterday. Tiny house loopholes, tiny house chess, at least my version of it. And Isaac Wright Jr. And let's start off with Isaac Wright Jr. And I'm going to Wikipedia. You can follow along. All right, Isaac Wright Jr. And I'm going to read about him and tie him into chess, tiny house chess, and then that'll follow us to loopholes. Okay. Isaac Wright, well, first thing, how did I find out about this guy, Isaac Wright Jr.? I was surfing on Hulu a couple of days ago. And I ran across a television show produced by ABC, and the television show is titled For Life. And it's about this guy who was convicted of being a drug kingpin and getting a life sentence. While he's in prison under this life sentence, he was married when he got locked up and had a daughter and everything. He studied, he got into law school. He was in prison and he got accepted into law school while in prison. True story. And then he graduated from law school while in prison, and He sat for the bar examination while in prison. Okay. He passed the bar, and he was allowed to practice law in New York State. And he became an inmate advisor or something like that. He acted as a paralegal. That's what I guess the whole time he was in there. And then so far, it's a series now. I'm in the first season of it. I don't know if they've gone to two seasons, but I'm in the first season of it. I'm watching it on Hulu. And so far, he has successfully won two cases of people that he has represented who have been incarcerated in prison. Okay, and I think one of them is going home, or one's about to go home. So, For Life, that's the name of the series. And like I said, I watch it on Hulu, but I think it's produced by ABC, so you can probably watch it on ABC too. Now, For Life is based on the real-life person whose name is Isaac Wright Jr. I have some pictures of him in our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio. But you can go online and type in Isaac Wright Jr. and see pictures of him as well. So let me read about this, because this is going to lead to Tiny House Chess and Tiny House Loopholes. Okay, anyway, Isaac Wright Jr. Isaac Wright Jr. is an American attorney, consultant, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. He is best known for being falsely accused and convicted as a drug lord and sentenced to life in prison in 1991, facing 10 charges involving the sale of cocaine. Okay. His conviction was overturned in 1997 after litigation brought by him on the basis of police corruption during his investigation and the prosecutors knowing presentation of perjured testimony at his trial. His story is depicted in the television drama series For Life, which premiered in 2020 on the ABC, or American Broadcasting Company, also known as ABC. He was a candidate for mayor of New York City in the 2021 New York City mayoral election. He's currently 61 years old. He graduated from Thomas Edison State University with a Bachelor's of Science degree, and he graduated from St. Thomas University with a Juris Doctorate degree. Occupation, lawyer and entrepreneur, known for falsely being convicted and sentenced to life in prison, the inspiration for the ABC TV series For Life. And, it was interesting. Married in 1982, divorced in 1991. Has one daughter. Okay. And now, Isaac Wright Jr., and there's another guy, Freeway Rick Ross, who some kind of way we're going to get him on here. He too, Freeway Rick Ross, and people don't know his name, but you can look him up too. Freeway Rick Ross was he was convicted and given, matter of fact, hold on, let me go read about him now since we have the privilege and the access to the internet. So I won't mess up his story. Freeway Rick Ross, okay, who's a friend of Warren Houston. We got to bring Warren on here. All right, Freeway Rick Ross. All right, Freeway Rick Ross was also sentenced to life in prison. Now, here are two black men who were sentenced to life in prison. And let me give you a little bit more information on Free Ray Rick Ross. When Free Ray Rick Ross was sent to prison on a life sentence, he was illiterate. He did not know how to read. He was a millionaire drug dealer, but he didn't know how to read. That tells you something about the United States of America. You don't even have to be know how to read to get rich. But anyway, so he didn't know how to read, but he learned how to read in prison. And he didn't go to law school or anything like that, but after he learned how to read in prison, he, you know, started to go to the library in prison, in the law library within prison, and he became proficient enough, long story short, where he was able to get his case back in the court and released from prison. That's Free Ray Rick Ross. So this is a man that did not know how to read but learned how to read. And he's free. The TV show Snowfall is believed to be loosely based on his life. I think it's a composite with other people, including Free Ray Rick Ross, but generally speaking, this TV show on FX, in its final season, by the way, season 6, is, like I say, a lot of people believe it's loosely based on the life of Free Ray Rick Ross. But in any event, got a life sentence and learned the law, got his case back in the court, and got out. He's a free man. And Isaac Wright Jr., I'm assuming he knew how to read, but in his 10 or 11 years of incarceration, he got familiar with the law library, was bold enough to apply to law school, and we don't know how many he got, you know, he applied, but he got accepted. And, of course, it had to be by correspondence, I'm imagining. And graduated law school. I mean, he made good use of his time. And then sat for the bar examination, which is not easy. And became a lawyer, an attorney. And the TV show For Life is based, or inspired is the word that they use, by Isaac Wright Jr.'s life. Because you see him locked up. And his cell is like his office. And you have other inmates. And Isaac Wright Jr. is a black man. He is so well respected for his legalese within the prison system that even white Aryans come to him for legal advice and want him to represent him. That's how good he is. All right. True story. All right. So, like I said, he's got a Wikipedia page, Isaac Wright Jr. So, now, I'm putting that out there because, now, how does this tie into tiny house chess and tiny house loopholes? Well, loopholes are exceptions or exemptions within the law where, you know, if you do certain things this way or don't do certain things that way or this way, then you can go from being illegal to legal. As a matter of fact, you know what, I don't like the way I broke that down. Let me go get a definition of loophole. Okay. definition. And we're going to tie this all into tiny houses. Of loophole. All right. The loophole definition I'm looking at here is, as a noun, an ambiguity or inaccuracy in the law or a set of rules. They exploited tax loopholes. Okay, as let's see. What does the phrase loophole mean? Okay. A means of escape, an ambiguity or omission in the text of on which the intent of the statute, contract, or obligation may be evaded. A small opening through which, all right, that doesn't apply to what we're doing. What's an example of a loophole? A loophole is an absence or something vague in a rule or law that allows a person to avoid punishment, as in, I was able to keep an alligator in my apartment thanks to a loophole in the housing rules that said only no dogs allowed. Loopholes often involve and result from poor wording or vague language in a rule or law. Okay, a synonym for a loophole and absence are alternative, outlet, technicality, escape, clause, means of escape, or way out. So yesterday, we brought up, there's a family in Seattle that they own a house, they have a backyard, and they want to build a tiny house in the backyard, their backyard. And in order to build the tiny house, they would need to pull a building permit to do so. And the building permit cost $75,000. And, you know, they thought that was, you know, very exorbitant. So, however, at the time that they watched, they did that video, apparently they hadn't read the rules and spotted the loopholes. Now, from my memory yesterday, what they could do in their backyard legally is, because looking at the definition of a loophole, you know, exceptions or alternatives, what they could do without pulling a permit in their backyard is they could pour a concrete slab. You can do that, and that same address in Seattle, Washington, no permit required. They can also build that same building, same design, but shrink it down in size, square footage-wise, and spend no more than $6,000, no permit required, another loophole. They can also go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and Menards and buy a shed and put it back there. No permit required. So these are all loopholes. So now this is where tiny house chess comes in there. Okay. Because you look at the board, and remember, the first thing you look at with when you're playing chess, you have to know the landscape. When it comes to tiny houses, or any kind of house, tiny or otherwise, we have to look at the landscape. What are the rules? Okay. So hopefully, you know, I'm going to see if I can get in touch with that family. But once again, we know that we can pour a concrete slab, no permit required. Number two, we can spend. Now, I played on his solar cabin plenty of times. Lamont built his solar cabin for a total of $5,000. So there, at the construction cost of no more than $6,000, no permit required. And if they went out and got a shed, of course, they had to be certain dimensions. Or if they're building a playhouse or building a shed or placing a shed back there, there are other loopholes that can fit into that backyard. But the moment you call it a house, and you know what? Let's put a definition on a house, because house is a regulated word, okay? Typically, and I'm going to open up the phone lines so people can chime in on it. All right, here's L.A.'s definition of a house, okay? It, no matter what the square footage is, whether it be 10 square feet or 4,000 or 5,000 square feet, here's the definition of a house, my definition of a house, okay? It has to have a front door and a rear door. That's number one. Number two, it must have a kitchen. It must have a bathroom, and the bathroom must be connected to the municipal sewer grid. That's my definition of a house. Be it 10 square feet, which is a micro house, or 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. Now, if you take out the kitchen and you take out the bathroom, you could call it a barn, maybe. A micro barn or a mega barn. You know, depends on what you want. I was out in Ohio once, and I stayed with some folks out there for a week. And they were on 5 acre or 5 acre lot. And so one day they gave me a tour of their 5 acres. Now, there was another house that was probably 1,500, 1,700 square feet. The missus, mind you, they had a regular house, a 3 or 4 bedroom house. I think a 4 bedroom house. And what are the bedrooms for the week? I stayed there 7 days. Now, not too far, walking distance, about a minute, if that, away from the main house, there was another house. And this woman defined this house. This was her sewing room. This is a whole damn house, man. That's her sewing room. The whole house that's her sewing room. That's how they rolled out, you know, in this little place outside of Janesville, Ohio. And then not too far from that, about a minute walk or so, there's a barn. And the mister, her husband, his barn was his workshop. And it was decked out, too. And then they took me to a neighbor's house, which is on 10 acres. They had a pond and everything. But they showed me how he and his wife, when they first started, he built a little cabin. This would be qualified. This would qualify as a tiny house. But it's a cabin. Because a lot of cabins are not, I would say the distinction between a tiny house and a cabin is many cabins are not connected to any municipal services. You know, but because I remember the cabin I stayed in had a tiny house event up in Vermont. I stayed in a cabin 2 years in a row, and it was an off-the-grid cabin. The electricity was solar, outfitted with from a solar unit from Harvard Freight. And then they had a septic system for the plumbing. But it was off-the-grid type thing. So that's a cabin. It wasn't a house. And it didn't have a rear entrance. It just had one way in. So it's a cabin. But anyway, so... now, like I say, so when your tiny house chess is essentially finding out what the landscape is, what does the board look like, and then learning what the rules are. Now, generally speaking, I like to get land in rural areas that is zoned where the land is zoned agricultural, not residential. Because residential automatically implies you're going to go on the grid and tap into municipal services. I don't want that. Got to pull permits and all this other stuff. I'd rather go agricultural where I can still put a house as a legal definition of a house, but I don't have to tap. Like where I'm at right now, and this is weird where I'm at. Across the street, I got a citrus orchard with cows and horses. I mean, I'm like a 30-second walk. There's less than a minute walk, and I'm sitting down right now to that. But on my side of the street, you know, I'm off the grid with water and sewer. I don't have any municipal services where I'm physically at right now. But however, if I want it, it's a phone call. But it's expensive, so that's why we're off the grid here with water and heat and stuff like that. So in any event, hopefully I tied him in some kind of crazy way, but that's how those guys got out. Now, if they were incarcerated with life sentences, they just became familiar with the law. So if you're free, you got your liberty, you can go to the local library, and they have a law section at any public library. But now, if you got an internet connection, there are videos online, so you can find out where you can set up legally with your tiny house. Anyway, I do highly recommend the program For Life. Once again, that's based on a true story. And the movie I recommended yesterday, which is also now based on a true story, but the game of chess was very important in that one. But you can apply those lessons in life. And that's Life of a King, starring Cuba Gooding Jr. All right, anyway, those are my rants for today. Yesterday, I had a headache yesterday, but more like a toothache, combination toothache, headache. I'm not giving any medical advice, but what I did to get rid of it was I had some hemp oil that I got from a health food store. So, you know, I keep it in my refrigerator. I got some hemp oil, took a couple of droplets under my tongue. I'm good. The headache and the pain went away fairly quickly. I mean, almost unnoticeably. So I'm not giving medical advice. I'm just saying that's what worked for me, and a headache and a toothache or whatever went away within a short period of time without me taking any pills or anything like that. Okay, well, Let me find my studio and see if anybody, if you guys want to chime in on anything, please do. Or any topics, trending topics that you want to talk about. I understand there was another shooting yesterday somewhere in Kentucky. I don't know. These events are becoming too common. Anyway, but open mic, anything you want to talk about? Let's see. Okay, let's go to area code 602. Your mic is open.
Good morning, Ms. Ellie. How you doing, sir?
Fine.
Definitely enjoying the show, and I just want to touch on the top real quick. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and life is like chess, and you don't know what it's going to be until you actually sit down and start playing the game. So with that being said, I'm stepping up the way, my brother, but I'm digging into the topic and everything.
Give us information on how we can catch your podcast, because you're on Blog Talk as well.
Yes, I am. I'm on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have 300 winning team members across the globe. Everybody's doing something different, business, products, and brands. But what we do, we are about helping business owners get the word out about their organization and connecting with other business owners to make a change in the world. So I'm here.
Okay. And now, what's the call-in number? For Blog Talk on that?
I don't have the information. I'm going to tell you right now, I have to find it, brother. Please excuse me.
What's the title they can find it by?
Winning Team Wednesdays.
Winning Team Wednesdays on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, look for that. I need to
definitely appreciate the show. Okay,
good show though. Area code 309, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. Good morning, Pastor Don.
Good morning.
I was sitting here listening to the podcast, and, you know, you got a guy that turns around, gets his law degree. You know, he's falsely accused, right? And then you tell me, I'm sure I heard this, that he ran for the mayoral candidate race for New York City?
He did run for mayor of New York City. He didn't win that one, but I'm impressed that he got a law degree. In prison. And then he had a life sentence. That means he wasn't going to get out.
Right.
But he got out.
Then you wound up bringing him. Then you wound up bringing up Freeway Rick Ross. And I happened to know Norman Tillman. I called him while I was on, I texted him, and then he called me while you were talking in the show. And I was seeing if he was available to come on the show today. But what I'm looking for is Thursday, having seen about getting Freeway Rick Ross on the show.
We got an open slate for Thursday. He's welcome to come on Tuesday? Yeah, tomorrow, anytime this week, he's welcome to come on.
That's what I told him. And so we're looking at Thursday morning. We'll see about having them on the show. I've been working on projects with them. They've got an organization called the Freeway Boys Foundation, and okay. They want to, and I just love to, you know, hear them really show their meaning behind repairing the problems that they caused on this continent.
Okay.
They're trying to change people's lives, so pretty good movement, and I think it'll be a great show having him on. And I look forward
to it.
Yeah.
looking forward to it. So I'm looking at, like, people like Isaac Wright Jr. and Freeway Rick Ross. If these guys could, I mean, really, there's no excuses. Because they didn't make any. You can't get more behind the eight ball than getting a life sentence. But reading and studying, so looping this all back into tiny houses or anything, the more you study something, particularly the legal aspects of it, like you mentioned on here, Appendix O and Appendix Q, is it? And there are probably other things that if you learn the law or the rules and regulations, you can go a long way.
Yeah, because when we had Pastor Slater on, he had introduced me to that Appendix L and Appendix O, and he didn't know about Appendix Q. So, you know, that's the beautiful thing about sharing this information with each other, so we can all learn. I learned something.
Now, what are the two? Give us a breakdown of each one of those appendixes you just mentioned.
Well, they had there was an Appendix L, and that was where they could build a cabin, but it couldn't have a kitchen and it couldn't have a bathroom, and it was able to be done without a bunch of bureaucracy, and they were able to build those six homes for the or the cabins
oh, yeah,
for the veterans.
Yeah, they call them, for legal purposes in Alcohol, they call them emergency sleeping cabins.
Yeah, emergency sleeping cabins.
Which none of them have a bathroom or a kitchen. However, they are facilities within short walking distance, of those six cabins.
Correct. And then Appendix Q, I'm not exactly sure what O was covering. Maybe it had to be a certain square footage or something. But Appendix Q, that one gives you different ceiling heights. It gives you loft, sleeping quarters, it's basically giving you a second floor without a staircase, because a staircase takes up a lot of room in a home.
Right.
And to eliminate it and you'd be able to go vertically up a wall and not go at an angle, you know, these are big issues that they don't do in conventional housing. So Appendix Q is something that gives you options to what you could live with, not necessarily what everyone says you should live with.
Right. Well, some places, and there are different type of kitchens. So, the term raw kitchen, a lot of people, some vegetarians and vegans have a raw kitchen in their house. Now, what is a raw kitchen? Generally speaking, a raw kitchen is a place where you don't have a stove or an oven, but you might have a Vitamix, a high-speed blender, and, you know, stuff like that. But there's no place where you can actually cook food, but people in that household, their lifestyle, they eat raw food. So you have raw kitchens out here. Whereas that can easily change if you bring in a hot plate, or a baking apparatus. but the local housing jurisdiction, might not consider it a house unless it has a grid-connected stove and or oven. And a lot of times the local utility companies, a lot of those people are monopolies. Like I know in Washington, D.C., the electric monopoly is Pepco. And, you know, they have rate hikes and everything. In Baltimore, you got BG&E, Baltimore Gas and Electric. That's a utility monopoly up that way. And a lot of these places, the city typically is the monopoly on water. However, you can also call up Culligan Man and have water delivered to you. Or in some places, you are allowed to drill a well. In other places, you can store water. You know, you can store it underground, you can store it above ground, or if your rafter system in your attic is, you know, sturdy enough, you can have a water pillow and, you know, have running water that way. So you do have alternatives, but look at what you can do or what you can't do before you jump into any particular area. Okay, any other trending topics, anything, announcements that people want to make? Because I'm all out for today. Thursday, Chris will have his people on. Let's see, trending topics. The shootings, I don't know where it was, Kentucky.
I was wondering, does it show how many people got hurt in that?
Let me see real quick. Well, let me go to USA Today, see what they have to say. USA Today.
I do have a couple of topics we can talk about.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, that's where it happened.
Louisville.
In 100 days into 2023, there have been 15 mass killings involving guns in the United States. The most current one is in Louisville, Kentucky. I think that's about 5 people. Yeah, 5 killed in Louisville. Yeah.
Wow. And that just happened yesterday.
Just yesterday. But there have been 15 mass. I can't even keep track, because I know they had one in Uvalde when the guy went to the school. But 15 is quite a bit.
Yes, it is.
And we're just entering into the second quarter of the year.
Exactly. I mean, you know, violence isn't the answer. And especially the innocent people that probably, you know, 99% of it didn't have anything to do with what has caused that person to have a problem in the first place toward the people. But, you know, the way people are treated, you know, people are vulnerable. Their mental states, they don't know how to control, because they've never dove in and learned who they are yet. And then you turn around and, you know, people shoot off at the mouth and say things without really thinking about what they just said. And I always tell people that, you know, you can be forgiven, but you won't be forgotten. You did say it. You did do it. Now, are you going to do it again? We know you're capable. You know, and I had I've been studying up on this, and it all comes down into everything that we're, you know, about getting people off the street. There is an ILS, an independent living facility. It can be any apartment, any house, anywhere. And if you don't have necessarily a homeless problem in that community, if there is property that can be rented or bought, these houses can be turned in because people can be transported to, relocated. So there's social workers that we can work with in every community across the country. Find out anybody that would be willing, if there was a house somewhere else, were you willing to relocate? But these ILFs, it's a two beds in a room, and if they can't have individual living to where there's only one, and they get that, those cost us a little more, but it is all guaranteed funding because you're working with SSI, SSDI, but you're getting our veterans, every veterans program in every state, including Florida. Last night, everybody that I was speaking with is right there in Orlando. They're all and there's ILFs all through your community. So it's a referral system to where if you know of someone that needs assistance, you can find them the assistance they need, and you get a referral fee for it. So now you can get paid to help people. And at the same time, they can help themselves. And also, people can make money. So you can make money. You don't have to buy the property. You don't even have to rent property to make money doing this because you can get in the referral system. That is $8 a month, and it's going to $16 a month to be able to be one of those referral people. But you can refer somebody from Louisville, Kentucky, to come to Tampa because there's a house. And what was really funny is one of the stories was this guy was being offered this, and he was up in, Baltimore. And he goes, where would I be living? So they sent him a picture of the house. And it's a five-bedroom home, 3.5 baths, and it's like a little mini mansion in a cul-de-sac in a beautiful area. And he says, that's the house I'll be living in? He's like, yeah. And it's $660 a month for your bed. Now, the guy was paying $1,800 a month for a hotel room. So when he walked in, he automatically, he starts shelling out money. He started handing the guy more money than what he was supposed to give. And he says, slow down. He says, you have a home here. He says, as long as you need it. He says, but this is a way you can, help yourself move forward. So we need to really bring these independent living situations, to life, because the money's there, the people are there, and it would be wonderful to get them connected, because these have been going on for years. People are making a lot of money doing it. One of the things I was looking at is like a three-bedroom apartment in my town, $1,300 a month. Well, if there's two beds in each one of them, and each of them are bringing in $800 a month, if that's what it is right here. So $800 a month, mm-hmm. That's $1,600. So you're talking $5,000 a month coming in on a $1,300 unit, and you did not cook a meal. You did not offer any services. You did not do anything. It's independent living. So it's actually working. They've got a great model, and I wanted to introduce that.
Okay. Okay. Now, one question about, because I think I've listened to that room a couple of times. When renting out rooms to, or first thing, just renting out rooms, let's say private rooms, the chemistry of a house has to be right. But renting rooms, like if you got two people in a room, but they don't know each other, I've heard of some horror stories. Matter of fact, you got to get the chemistry's got to be right.
No, you're correct, and that's why we work with the social workers, and
right.
No one has put that vetting system is already in place. So they have, like I said, there's a nice little program, and it's not like just throwing people at each other that don't know each other, trying to get them to live with each other. That's not what it's about. It's about
okay.
Getting people that are cohesively able to live with each other. So, yeah, there's a lot of options. It doesn't matter. There's 17 states right now got houses throughout them. And when they have a family, there's a family situation, if there's kids, if there's a women's situation, they wind up getting a house to themselves. They don't put them into that ILF model. That ILF model is basically for men.
Oh, yeah. You can get different. That makes sense. All right, well, we'll bring them on one day so people can, that might be a business model that, work for a lot of people, so to speak. So, let's see. Chris, give out the information for people that want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, my call number is 309-542-6319. Again, that's 309-542-6319. Chris Collins is my name. Website is hopeforhousing.org. And you can go to my Instagram. It's Chris_Hope_Collins. And as you go through the Instagram, any of the cars you see, that's the program that Reba had introduced to the show here, where the kids are redoing cars and restoring them. So you'll see those, and then you'll see houses and buildings being built. The stuff that's being built that's on there, kids built all of it. So your youth is inspired to help be the change they want to see, and they're looking forward to what people are going to bring as more opportunities by us educating and showing people what we got going on and how we can do that. So please do look at the Instagram. Leave a comment. Let the kids know that they matter, what they did matter. Is that house and those buildings they built, last 1,000 years, but can be recycled 1,000 times. So they're starting their legacy on this planet. And I think that's what we're all here to do is, why are we here and what are we here to do? And these children are getting to receive that clue, and I love it and inspire to get up every day to make a difference in another one's life and seeing them come out and go home, actually come out, go out and do something, and then come home and ask their parents to get up and come and do it with them. That's going to make the difference. That's where the change is going to all come. is when those children become those teachers. But thank you. Thank you for giving me that moment.
Okay. All right. Let me play this audio from Isaac Wright.
This is World News Sunday.
A former lawman turned outlaw on the run. A New Jersey prosecutor is seeing justice from the other side of the fence these days. He's been on the lam since last week when he disappeared from his home, leaving behind an electronic ankle bracelet and a suicide note. Now he's the subject of an international manhunt. ABC's Alexander Johnson has that story.
Anything you can tell us, Nick?
Reporters wanted to know how Nicholas Bissell went from being one of New Jersey's most feared lawmen to a convicted criminal. For 13 years, Bissell built a reputation as a tough crime fighter, even appearing on television's America's Most Wanted.
He was the top lawman in one of the biggest and most powerful counties in New Jersey.
But some of his colleagues say that wasn't enough. On May 31st, he was convicted on 30 counts, including obstruction of justice, fraud, perjury, and abuse of power. Many of the charges had to do with money, skimming, and tax irregularities at a gas station where he was part owner. Most troubling, Bissell's other cases must now be reviewed, like the case of Isaac Wright, given life for being a drug kingpin. Last month, a judge ordered him retried because Bissell coerced witnesses against him.
7 years ago, I was a voice among a chorus that nobody would listen to.
This week, 2 days before he was to be sentenced, Nicholas Bissell, the man who convicted Wright, cut an electronic ankle bracelet he was ordered to wear and became a fugitive. Because he fled, Bissell's property, including his house and a condo owned by his 76-year-old mother, are now owned by the U.S. government.
Prosecutor Bissell has it within his power to prevent his mother from losing her home. All he has to do is show up and be sentenced.
Next week, Nicholas Bissell is scheduled to show up again on America's Most Wanted, this time as a fugitive. Alexander Johnson, ABC News, New York.
Been under house arrest after he was found guilty of corruption and fraud in May. Today he took the stand on a case that he tried and won back in the early 90s. Bissell convicted Isaac Wright on a number of drug counts. He's been in jail for 7 years. But he says the former prosecutor, a judge and law enforcement officials, tampered with evidence and forced witnesses to lie.
And a man convicted by former Somerset County prosecutor Nicholas Bissell may soon go free. Isaac Wright, who is serving time for dealing drugs, says he was wrongly convicted because Bissell got witnesses to lie on the stand. The judge says he agrees with Wright and will let him go free unless the state can change his mind. Bissell himself is awaiting a jail sentence for fraud and corruption. He says the whole thing is bizarre. Meantime, the judge is also considering suppressing some drug evidence seized from the home of Wright's co-defendant. The judge says it was seized without a warrant and that Bissell's colleagues never reported it.
A man who spent 7 years in jail on drug charges will get a new trial. A judge in Somerset County threw out all 18 of Isaac Wright's convictions, claiming Wright never received a fair trial. News 12 New Jersey's Adam Freed is in our newsroom with the latest on Isaac Wright and the apparent miscarriage of justice that put him behind bars. Adam?
You know, Lee, Isaac Wright may have been a drug dealer, as prosecutors and police claimed, but one thing is certain, he wasn't dealt a fair trial. A judge said today that the man who prosecuted Wright made illegal deals with defense attorneys, and now Isaac Wright will have one more chance to plead his case before a jury. The news was good, but not good enough for Isaac Wright's mother and friends.
They don't have enough evidence to go back to a retrial. And basically, should just release him today and let this man get on with his life.
Isaac Wright has appealed his case again and again. Now, the court agreed he did not get a fair trial. The judge referred to the behavior of the prosecutor as a distinct pattern of disinformation. The judge threw out this conviction for two reasons, because he said police had seized some of the key evidence illegally, and because the prosecutor had made secret and illegal deals with one of the defense attorneys. This was the testimony that opened Pandora's box, a co-defendant who testified against Wright.
Basically, he didn't want to go to jail, so he told me what to say in order not go to jail.
She didn't. Isaac Wright got a life sentence. What turned this case was that the prosecutor, Nicholas Bissell, knew the witness was lying under oath during the original trial. The judge today called that an offensive deception of the judge and jurors. The original prosecutor, Bissell, is already on his way to jail, convicted of a variety of crimes. Now the new prosecutor will have to decide if the pursuit of justice means filing more charges against the man she has just replaced. The prosecutor says that she is going to retry Isaac Wright on all 18 counts of the original indictment. His bail was set today at $500,000, and the new trial is scheduled to begin in January. Lee?
Adam, was that particular prosecutor making other mistakes and other secret deals and other trials?
A lot of people are wondering that. It is certainly possible. There were a number of people in the courtroom today who had been convicted and served jail time from trials that Nicholas Bissell was the prosecutor in, and they were saying that because Isaac Wright got a new trial, they may appeal the decisions that were rendered against them as well.
Thank you to Adam Fried for that report from our newsroom.
A man put behind bars by former prosecutor Nicholas Bissell is free. Isaac Wright has been in jail for more than 7 years. He was convicted on a number of drug charges, including one that accused him of being a drug kingpin. For years, he claimed he didn't get a fair trial. In October, he convinced a judge, and today he was released on $250,000 bail. News 12 New Jersey's Cynthia Scott tells us that Wright may be a free man, but he's not quite out of the water yet.
Isaac Wright was supposed to spend the rest of his life behind bars, but he left the Somerset County Jail taking with him all the work that helped get him out. Wright calls this day bittersweet.
Bitter because it's 7 years coming, and sweet because it's the first step at liberty.
Former Somerset County Prosecutor Nicholas Bissell, who killed himself to avoid jail time, was responsible for sending Wright to jail. Supporters of Wright, who helped post his bail, say Bissell wanted to be the first prosecutor in the state to convict someone under the drug kingpin statute. They say he broke the law to get his conviction.
There were a lot of problems with the case, basically just corruption in the prosecutor's office, which now is being investigated.
Wright convinced the judge of that after years of preparation and weeks of testimony from people who said they were forced to lie. In October, his charges were reversed and Wright was granted a new trial.
He was overwhelmed with so many things that he knew that it was something, the new trial was something that had to happen in the interest of justice. It had to happen.
But Wright may not be a free man forever. His trial that was scheduled on January 2nd was postponed until the state conducts its own investigation. Now, prosecutors say they will retry him, but some say they can't see how.
I can't wait to see their trial. I think that they're looking for a soft place to land. I don't think there really will be a retrial. And if there is, I don't think there's any possibility of a conviction.
I'm confident that, you know, in a subsequent trial that I'll be acquitted.
As for his own civil trial against the county, Wright wouldn't reveal his plans, but he says he wishes this day was the final chapter. In Somerset County, Cynthia Scott, News 12, New Jersey.
Isaac Wright wouldn't tell us.
Welcome to Not Guilty on this Tuesday, July 17, 2018. Today we're talking about Isaac Wright, Jr. See, Mr. Wright was wrongfully arrested and charged and then convicted of a crime. His sentence was life in prison plus 50 or 60 years. Mr. Wright, while in prison, studied law, fought his own appeal, won his appeal, went back to the courtroom to prove the prosecution was false. It was a conspiracy. In doing so, Mr. Wright got the police officers locked up. There were false witnesses. He got the judge locked up. He got the prosecutor convicted, who spearheaded the whole conspiracy. And the coward prosecutor, before he reported to jail, killed himself. Now, this is an epic story of conquest and redemption, and it is such a good story that 50 Cent picked it up to make a production out of it. You know, I just learned about this story this weekend. In reading it, I mean, it's compelling, but it also stands for the same principles of why I founded this company. We have to fight back against a system that was never built to protect us. This system is built to lock people up, plain and simple. It's profitable to put people in prison now, which I've talked about before. We have to have the resources to fight back, and that's what Credine is all about. So Mr. Wright is now known as Attorney Isaac Wright Jr. And, you know, he did not stop after getting himself out of trouble. He dedicates his life to helping others, and that's commendable. Very, very honorable. So, Mr. Wright, congratulations. Looking forward to the movie. I don't support Hollywood, but I will be going to see that movie. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are here fighting for your freedom. To learn more, visit credine.com.
Pull up the door, I'll get it myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. Don't give me innovation, give me true communication. Don't give me sorrow, I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow. Give me schools, then give me better books. So I can read about myself and gain my true look. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. But at the door, I'll get it myself. Some of us try as hard as we can. We don't want no sympathy, we just want to be a man. We feel our sweat and blood. Put out everybody, back up every blood. Give me nothing, open up the door, get him a step. I'm not gonna talk to you. We got talent we can use outside of town. Let's get ahead.